what I'm trying to do is to expose the dura at the temporal cranial fossa and stop. So far, I've been able to stop in time. But I want to see that because in order to get the kind of decompression that we want, we leave minimal remaining bone in the whole area. So again, reduction of enophthalmos from this procedure of about 3.2 millimeters. They get improvement in their pressure, no change in diplopia, and exposure keratopathy is better. And this is a patient who's had both medial wall opening and lateral wall opening to try to expand the orbital volume. Complications, pretty common to have a foreign body sensation in the PACU, seems to get better quickly. Chemosis is fairly common. I haven't had any changes in lower eyelid position, no CSF leaks or hematomas. So transconjunctival lateral orbital decompression seems to be useful. It does require an assistant, seems to be safe. I think probably a traditional bone flap where we take out the whole lateral orbital rim and then put it back later might provide a little bit better exposure and decompression. I don't do strabismus surgery, but obviously it's one of the options that patients in Graves' disease need in order to have rehabilitation. It does turn out that the successes associated with the symmetry of orbitopathy and earlier surgery in articles that are published in that literature. Restoration of normal eyelids gives us several advantages. Improves epiphora, corneal exposure, lag ophthalmos, improves appearance. Upper eyelid retraction, we have some alternatives. We have a recession of the levator, posterior, anteriorly or posteriorly, some removal of Mueller's muscle. We can also do a full thickness blepharotomy. We can use Botox in the levator. And of course, we could do some kind of tarsorrhaphy. Lower lid retraction, we usually tighten the lateral canthus. We often will have to recess the lower lid retractors. We'll put in a spacer graft commonly. We have more problems with the lower lid because, of course, gravity is working against us. For spacer options, a hard palate can be used, acellular dermis, alloderm, cadaveric sclera, cartilage, tarsoconjunctiva from one of the other lids, and porous polyethylene. MedPor certainly has been proposed as a group down in Houston that's pushed this a fair amount. You can get a nice correction of retraction with it, but all you have to have is a couple of patients where the MedPor herniates through the skin to say, I don't know if I want to use that. I don't use it very often. So I'm remembering from this little excursion into Graves' disease, I think that knowing that the TSH receptor antibodies, or the TSI test as it's usually marketed, is useful for diagnosis and prognosis because you can follow patients with it. I think a Rituxan is an exciting new alternative, but prednisone is still the mainstay of therapy for active progressive inflammation. Radioactive iodine as a treatment for hyperthyroidism is probably worth staying away from if you have any input into that decision. If the endocrinologist insists on ordering it, you probably want to cover the patient with prednisone during the time that they have it at least. Radiation may be useful in the early inflammatory phase, and ultimately for stable disease, the best thing we've got is surgery, even though it's far from perfect.